It's wonderful to see you all here this morning, and it has been really wonderful to be with you these last 3 weeks. I thank you for the great gift to be with you, usually each year for a few weeks. So I look forward to coming back next week. Well, this week in the Gospel text, we continue with the Gospel stories that launch Jesus' public ministry. If you were here last week, you know that we were at a big wedding in Cana in John's Gospel when Jesus had a spectacular inaugural event by turning 120-plus gallons of water into wine. Today, we're back with Luke's Gospel, and Jesus starts things off in his hometown synagogue in Nazareth, where he grew up. Now, you know, usually I think it's the case that we love it when a kid from the hometown makes good, right? Now think about the celebrity maybe from your high school graduating class who is always the star of the reunion. Or, if you've ever been to a Stone Pony Bar in Asbury, New Jersey, you know that it is a virtual shrine to Bruce Springsteen, the hometown kid from the neighborhood who's become the boss. But when the hometown kid becomes a prophet and delivers some challenging news, it doesn't always go so well. And in this morning's text, everybody's still pretty amazed at Jesus. All eyes in the synagogue were fixed on him, we're told. But a sneak preview at next week, when I'll be gone, tells you that by next Sunday, they're all going to be ready to rush him out of town. He wasn't, this happens, but I think we need to know what it is about this scripture passage that quotes from the prophet Isaiah that seems to get everybody so out of shape. Well, for starters, I don't think the hometown crowd really gets what Jesus is saying. They forget their own rich Jewish tradition that holds to multiple layers of meaning and tradition and interpretation. There's a passage in the prophet Nehemiah's book in the Bible that reminds us that they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. Now, clearly at one level of understanding, this passage from Isaiah might sound like really good news if, for example, you are poor and have desperately been praying for the redistribution of ancestral lands that were taken from you, and not such good news if you've amassed someone else's property. And as we've seen in the readings these past few weeks, Jesus does indeed have a great empathy for anyone who has been oppressed or treated unjustly. But Jesus' project was not primarily about trying to change the way we structure the world, but rather to invite us into a transformation of the heart. Jesus wasn't a politician. Jesus was the incarnation of God's love in the world. So when he got up to read this well-known passage from Isaiah, he met these words for all of us, not just those who might externally fit into the categories mentioned. So when we begin to look at this passage in this light, can we perhaps all acknowledge that we've been captive or without clear vision at times? Can any of you identify with feeling like you're in prison because you've been so weighed down by a crisis, a fractured relationship, a false accusation, or an illness that just makes you want to jump out of your skin to be free of this captivity that you're living with? If you've ever struggled with addiction, you know exactly what Jesus is offering in this passage. Jesus is speaking to our hearts, and he has come to deliver good news to everyone. It's in our hearts, where theologian Cynthia Bourgeau says, we find the image of our true selves, and where Jesus later proclaims that the kingdom of God resides in each of us. This scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing, proclaims Jesus, because he has come among us to reveal the unquenchable, unconditional, extravagant, everlasting love of God for each one of you, for me. He announces a love that gives us vision of a larger life in God and opens the door to wisdom about our true nature as beloved daughters and sons of the Holy One of creation. And just like a parent's love for their children, an unconditional love that nurtures, informs, heals, strengthens, and liberates, Jesus announces God's love that longs to envelop our hearts and set us free from anything in this mortal life that holds us captive. Those of you who are parents surely understand that's the hope of your love for your children. It doesn't mean that you can make everything right for them, but that you give them out of this love a grounding that they would otherwise never know. Well, friends, this is good and wonderful news. This is news about a love that is light and life, a love for each and every one of us, a love that simply will never be overcome by the darkness.